Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah 57. Let me read you one verse. It's a well-known verse. But we're studying principles of Scripture. And I want to give you a principle. Notice, if you would, verse 15. For thus saith the High and Holy One that inhabiteth eternity. Now you think about that. That is dwelling in eternity, dwelling in forever. No beginning, no end. Whose name is holy. Now, I don't know. We will not be able to know what holy means till we step foot in heaven. It's beyond our imagination. That's part of the reason why, as I study, I am just amazed when I begin to think about all that God did to save us. Because you and I are still not holy, practically. But that God would save us and make us holy in His sight is beyond my comprehension. But you'll notice He says, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. I dwell in heaven, and it's perfect. Holy, set apart for God. So when you say we're holy, we're set apart for God. And the holy place is a place set aside for God. That's heaven. So remember this. God making, we say from time to time, God has been making heaven for us. In reality, it's His home. And He's made it holy. And it is His abode. And He's inviting us to live with Him forever. So it's not like He's made it for us. Now, I'm certain He's done things for us. But you'll notice, if you would, He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him. Also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now, humility is the principle I want us just to look at. Humility, the Greek word has got, I think, 13, 14 letters in it. It literally is tepinos prasune. Tepi is not very far off the ground. It's like this. And prasune is to think I'm not very far off the ground. In other words, it is to not have a high opinion of yourself. So when you think of that word, humility, it's you can't lift yourself very far off the ground. Many Asian countries, you know, people bow or they get down on their knees and they bow. The bottom line is the mindset that we are. Now, you can be on your knees and not have the right mindset. This is the last phrase. The root word is phrasine, which is the mind, which is the way you think. So he said, you think you're not very far off the ground. You have a very low esteem of yourself unless the Lord lifts you up. That is impossible for Americans. And for most people. We think of ourselves as good, pretty good people. We think of ourselves as doers. We can do things. And we can, but only because God helps us. Only because God gives us the privilege of doing so. I mean, I visited with a man that was an engineer for NASA. And his mind went. And I saw his wife sit there holding his hand, loving him. But he was gone. My point to you is a brilliant scientist. So without the hand of God, you and I cannot think. And the only thing He wants us to use our mind for, the principal thing, is that we realize without Him, we can't rise very far off the ground. That's humility. So notice in this verse, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So you cannot think that you're something special and dwell with the Lord. Now, when I say dwell with the Lord, he's going to change us when we step foot inside heaven. But I don't want to wait to heaven before I dwell with the Lord. I want to spend time with the Lord now. I want to walk with him now. I want to be close to the Lord now. I want to have that sweet fellowship now that David had when he sat on the rock and he wrote some of the Psalms, guarding the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. He knew what that meant. He said, man, the Lord is watching out for me. He's taking care of me. He's keeping away the predators. He's walking through the valley of the shadow of death with me. He's got me covered. Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful. So he sits on a rock and writes that. He said, you know, he's with me. He's the one that makes me strong. And so when he went to fight Goliath, it was like, it's not in me, but the Lord that helped me fight the lion and the bear, he will win. He will win the victory for me. And so humility is that you know you cannot do it. You know you cannot do this project. And folks, we get in our mindset, oh, I've done that before, I can do that. My wife and I built 8 houses together. About every 5 years, we'd roll one over. We'd flip it. When we got to the end, we built the same house 3 times at the end. She loved the house, the layout. She got used to it. She lost her leg, and so she knew where everything was. It was comfortable to her. But we had to make it bigger so that her wheelchair would go down the aisles, would turn a certain way. And yet, in her mind, I said, honey, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, oh, you can do it. And then I remember having to say, Lord, I can't do it. And I think of the last house, all the work that it was. I said, Lord, I don't know how you did this. Well, I have no idea. It's like my mind looking forward was blank. Even though we had built 6 houses, it was like, Lord, I just don't think I can do it again. But I need your help. And I think there were times I said, well, I can do it. And every time I did that, I always did something wrong. Every time I had that thought, I forgot this or I forgot that. I knew a preacher one time that said, I'll build our own set of buildings. And they built the buildings, and it was dedication day, and they were out there, and the contractors walking through. He said, Pastor, you've done a great job. This is a great set of buildings. And he said, could I just ask one question? He said, yeah. He said, it is amazing how you built this building. I can't see how you got the heat and air in this building. It's amazing. He said, heat? Heat? I forgot the heat. Now, that's what happens when we do it. So for the next 3 months, we're out there with a star drill, busting holes in the wall, trying to put all the gas lines in and all the stuff that's there. And, it's really important that we realize we can't do certain things. This week, I was talking to the architect. We have a brilliant architect. I am so grateful the Lord brought him to us. But in our auditorium, right now, we have 2 2-foot squares that's a vent up on the left side and the right side. And so we were talking. I says, will that vent do the whole building? I said, it's a return air. I said, that doesn't look big enough to me. He said, oh. He said, well, let me explain this to you. It won't. He said, you see that row? It's sort of like this all the way down the sides. He said, behind it, there is a light that shines up. It's a rope light. He said, behind that whole thing is the return. I said, I don't understand. He said, they did it wrong. And when I was out there 2 weeks ago, I caught it. And I told the engineer and I told the company, take that out, plaster over it. Behind that, there's a double wall behind the whole thing so that the whole side is the return air. I said, whew, I didn't think of that. Oh, that's a brilliant idea because you don't get that up there. You see that black around the light? You don't get that. I said, I don't want those things in our new church. So he put it behind the wall so you'll never see it if it got into that. I said, that's wonderful. I am so thankful for that. My point to you is that you and I can't do everything we think we can do. And we have to have the mindset that we don't rise very far off the ground. We can't unless the Lord reaches out and helps us. Now, you notice humility is a characteristic of God. So That's why you and I want to be humble. It is, we're in His image when we have the humility of ourselves. Now, there's a balance between humility and when we say take some pride in yourself, we're not meaning to be lifted up like this. We're meaning that you would think about things you ought to do, things that you ought to be. So notice, if you would, that humility is a characteristic of God. It is a command of God. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be holy. It's one of those commands that He says, I don't want you coming very far off the ground in your mind. I want you to think that you can't do anything without me. That's what I want you to do. And so humility is something that Christians truly can only do. I've met some humble people that have done some great things and they're not saved. But true humility is done for the right reason. They look up and say, Lord, I need you. The unsaved man is just humble. There are some people that are humble, more humble by nature. But in the end, I think I can do that. I'll do that. There's not, I think the Lord can help me and I can do that. There is a difference. And you and I need the second one. I think I could do that, Lord, if you'll help me. Now, I want you to notice, not only is it a command, but it's a mindset that changes our heart. It's the way you think. It's the way I think. You see, before we get saved and get the new nature, it's impossible for us to have the right mindset because the Holy Spirit is the one that guides your thoughts. He's the one that teaches us. He guides us into all truth. You need the Holy Spirit to guide your thought to know, you know, I can't do this without you, Lord. And all of us need that. One other thing is, both Old and New Testament words for humility have the idea of this. I don't think of myself as capable. I think I'm capable with the Lord. Now, I want you to notice how do we become humble or begin adding it to our lives. First, we've got to ask God to forgive us of our pride. James 4:6. We have to say, Lord, would you forgive me anytime pride comes in my heart? Would you point it out to me? Now, David had it right. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And pride is the greatest sin aside from not believing in the Lord, because Satan had pride. He lifted himself up and God cast him down. So pride is that sin we have to be careful of. And so we have to constantly say, Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for pride. Lord, point it out to me that I can get rid of it. It's an awareness of pride that all of us have. Without that, you'll never have a humble heart. It's something you have to work on, something you have to see until it becomes habit, until it changes your thought. Now, before you're saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you. And after we're saved, the Holy Spirit will help us and He will guide our thoughts if we yield to Him. Everybody in this room. It's the same with anger. It's the same with bitterness. And the Christian life, it seems like we're always trying to work on our life. But over time, that's where spiritual growth comes in. We begin to focus on things, but pride is that first thing we focus on. Lord, help me with my pride that I can get rid of it and give it to you. And Lord, help me to operate on humility in your sight and trust you to help me get it done. All of us in this room. And folks, pride is so insidious, it's hard for us to recognize it. The Holy Spirit has to come in and touch it. And He says, there it is. Oh, it's right there too. And I've said, I didn't even see it. How many of you wives have ever cleaned something and you saw something maybe where your husband left something and you said, hey, I cleaned this. And he said, I didn't even see that. Have you ever had something like that happen? I didn't even see that. I didn't even notice that. Or vice versa. I didn't even see that. I didn't even realize that. Before Janet came, I went through my house and I said, I'm going to fix it all up. So I had some shoe molding that I had put down. When Susan died, I just lost interest and I just sort of existed for a few years in my heart. And I would look over and see she mowing wasn't done. I said, I forget that. I'll do it at a later date. And then I realized she's going to come and we're getting married. I said, I got to get that shoe molding fixed up. So I got the shoe molding done. I went and got a gallon of paint. Anybody ever try to go get a gallon of paint 5 years after you painted it? And what happens, Brother Don? You paint the wall. What happens? It's just a little bit off. And so she came in and I did a roll a few spots. You know, you got some scratches here and scratches there. And I went back. I said, doesn't match. I hope it gets better. And it did get a lot better. But I could walk by and I could see it. I said, oh, she's going to see that right off the bat. And so, you know, we got married. But I had gone through certain places and I could walk by every time and see that same thing. And I said, just killing me. But she walked through and she said, oh, it looks so beautiful. I said, do you see anything that you notice that, and I'm trying to coax her. I said, do you see any paint that doesn't match? She walked around the hall. I don't see anything. Looks great. Looks great to me. Now, I don't think it was that she was trying to be nice to me. I know there's a lot of that. But I said, you know, I got shoe molding. She didn't even notice. Well, she didn't notice anything. And so, but the paint, I see it every day. I walk by, I see that spot. But I don't want to paint the whole house. And so I try to get it to blend best I can, and she still doesn't see it. If I point it out, she said, maybe a little bit. Well, the Holy Spirit looks at it and says, Dave Pittman, I see it, and it's glaring. I said, Lord, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. And so you and I have to open our heart and say, Lord, you show me when there's a little pride here, when there's a little pride there. Folks, it can happen anytime. It can happen when you get out in your car and somebody drives by. And how many of you have ever seen somebody that drive by and maybe they've got some dents in their car and it's a small little car that, you know, has some scratches on it, paint's fading and maybe no hubcaps. And you, in your mind, you have this, well, I'm glad I'm not that used to be. Anybody ever had that thought? Don't raise your hand. Or, you know, you look, driving to your neighborhood and you drive by another neighbor and you say, Lord, I'm sure I'm thankful I live here. Look, there is a blessing of God that's in all of our lives, but we better not let ourselves get too far from the ground up here. Because it doesn't take that much before it's gone. How many of you remember Brother Mark Frelick? Mark Frelick remodeled this building for us. He got saved when we built the building next door. He was a general contractor. He got saved. He and his wife both did. My wife and I went by and led them to Christ because he called me out after the first service of the dedication of that building and said, there's something different about these people. Could you come talk to me about it? I want to know what it is. And so my wife and I were able to go by because of your testimony and lead them to Christ. Well, Mark had great plans. We had great plans. He's going to build our buildings. And he had a company that was just blowing and going. The company was very successful. He was making a lot of money. And all of a sudden, he's got a heart issue. So he goes in for open heart surgery, which how many times has that happened, people? A kajillion times. His didn't go well. He never got out of bed after that. 3 years later, he was dead. Nobody plans on that. You and I had better be careful. Now, Mark didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying the Lord has plans for our lives at different times. And you and I have to realize that God can say no more today. We just want to make sure, like Susan told me, she said, honey, I've checked my heart. I know my legs are missing and all my health issues are not because of punishment. My heart is right with the Lord. I just want to make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. So whatever comes our way, we know God is using us still. That's important. That's the Christian testimony. That's the light that lights up the world. But you cannot have that without this not rising very far from the ground up here. We must have a humble heart. And we can't see it. I want you to notice the next thing is we have to do our part to battle our flesh and say no. We have to see, when the Holy Spirit points it out, we have to say, oh, I didn't see that, but I'm sorry. I will not do that again. We confess it. Lord, I had that thought and I'm sorry. But by God's grace, I'm not going to let it come up again. So when it comes up again, it's like an alcoholic. They see it and they see alcohol and they say no and they turn their head away. They practice saying no. They have to practice and practice and practice and say, when I see it, no. It would be drugged the same way. When I see it, no. I'm not going that way. No. And so when we see pride in our life, and maybe it's a new suit of clothes, or it's a new dress, or it's a new purse, or it's a new this, or it's a new that, or a new car, a new home, or a new job, and we go up and say, man, you know, I see the name on my office, and, you know, hey, I've finally been able to accomplish some of the things I wanted to do. Whoops! Don't fart, rise too far off the ground. Lord, forgive me for that prideful thought. It's everywhere, folks. A lady fixes a meal that turns out great. Anybody ever had the thought, wow, I did a good job on that one? Back up. Lord, I couldn't have fixed it without you helping me. Because I realize these hands are yours and this mind is yours. Lord, I want to thank you. Somebody pays you a compliment. Lord, this is because of you. You have to be aware and say, no, I'm not going to accept that. Even when people pay you a compliment, no, you know, thank you so much. You're very gracious of you. Lord, that's not me. That's you. I'm not thinking that way. I'm not letting my mind go that way. Very few of us battle humility and pride like we should. We battle the pride to get rid of it, and we give the Lord the credit. Those are the two things that bring humility to the heart. Say no to self. Say no to pride. And then when we can't see it, we say, Lord, you help me. David said, thy word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my path. And so without the light of the word of God, you and I are going to miss it. So we have two things that help us see pride. The word of God and examples in scripture. Now, can somebody give me an example in scripture of someone that had pride in their life? Started out humble, but then became prideful. Ken. Saul. The Bible says in Psalm, in 1 Samuel, it says, when thou wast little in thine own sight, that's not rising very far from the ground. That's why he tried to kill David. Because he had risen too far and was somebody. Somebody else. Can't think of anybody else? Pride. Pardon me? Yeah. Lot went into the city and he was sitting at the gate. And all of a sudden, he didn't realize the damage his pride of being somebody in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah had done to his family. And they had all bought in. And so his pride ruined his family. I want to be somebody. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Folks, that's a very subtle thing. I just want to see those bright lights. Wow, I'm not going there, but I want to see those bright lights. They're really something. Be careful. Say no to pride. Ask the Holy Spirit, point it out to me. And then when it happens, no, I'm not doing that. Lord, this is your benefit. This is what you gave me. Now, I want you to see the great benefit of humility. Okay? Well, number one, there's several of them, but I want to give you a couple. Number one, you'll see in verse number, Psalm 57, he says, I dwell with the high and holy place with him. We get a chance to dwell with the Lord if we get rid of our pride. If we have a humble spirit, we give the Lord the credit for all that we do, we can then have the opportunity to dwell with the Lord, to walk with him. Does anybody remember a man that accomplished probably as much or more than anybody in Scripture? Give me a name of somebody that accomplished as much more than anybody in Scripture. Who's that? The Apostle Paul, yes. Somebody else? Solomon did accomplish a lot. How about Moses? Moses did more miracles than public miracles of anybody, as far as great ones. Not things that were, you know, countrywide. And does anybody remember what the Lord said about him? He's the meekest humblest man on earth. That's why God could use him. And it took 40 years to get him from being a mighty man, I can do it, to being a humble, meek man. I can't do it without you. And I want you to close with this. Listen to this. Can anybody tell me why Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land? It is one of the most painful and big punishments in Scripture. And it took me a long time to understand it. Can anybody tell me? Yes, sir. The Lord said what? Speak to the rock so I can get the credit. In other words, you just say, Lord, would you bring water out of that rock? And he said, must we fetch water out of this rock for you? And he takes his rod and he strikes it twice. God honored it. But he said, you got lifted up with pride in that moment. And I was willing to do it myself so that I could get the credit. And in return, I'll lift you up. So the Lord said, you can't go into the promised land. That is one of the harshest punishments all of Scripture to me. But it's because of pride in a moment of time that somebody knew better. So you and I have to be very careful of that. Now, I think the closer we get to the Lord, the greater the punishment for little things. And so I want to be close to the Lord, but I want to avoid things like that. And the only way we can is if we begin to say no and we develop the pattern in our life. This is only because the Lord did it. This is only because the Lord did it. And everybody in this room has got to understand that. Somebody sings a beautiful song. Brother Scott sings a beautiful song. But you go up to Brother Scott, he's not going to say, yeah, I said, I really worked on my voice. He's going to say, to the Lord be the glory. He didn't earn that voice. It was given to him. I didn't earn my mind where I can walk right. The Lord gave it to me. You and I have to be careful that we take the credit for what God has done. That's one of the cardinal sins in Scripture. Now notice very quickly, I want you to just see, not only does he, we can dwell with him, which to me is the greatest blessing, but if you have your Bible, I want you to notice 1 Peter chapter 5, two verses. I want you to see 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice, if you would, verse number 6. Humble yourselves. Now, this is in the imperative tense. Now, imperative. Somebody tell me, if you have any study of English, what does it mean in imperative? An imperative tense. Can you tell me? Sweetie? Okay, it's command. You be humble. You humble yourself. So in other words, it's not me humble brother Terry Steele. It's not me help humble brother Don. It's each one of us are commanded to humble ourselves. And notice this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So you humble yourself before the Lord. And notice what happens. That he may exalt you in due time. And you take the word out, do, and you put down he, his time. Due time is his time. So you may humble yourself and say, well, when's he going to exalt me? When's he going to be blessing? Well, if you ask that question, you got pride. So we just begin to back up and say, Lord, you just let me be your servant and whatever you do is okay with me. But God says, if you humble yourself, I will exalt you in my time. So humility is the secret to get rid of pride. It's a secret to dwelling with the Lord. And it's the secret for the Lord to lift us up. And then we can enjoy it because God did that too. Father, would you help us to learn the principle of humility, Father, that we might give you the credit and the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.